So I've made an executive decision on about this show.
Okay.
This wasn't discussed in rehearsal.
No. No, I just thought of it like 2 seconds ago.
Okay. I'm all for spontaneity.
The best decisions are the spontaneous ones. Morning, Andy.
Good morning.
Morning, Shawnee.
Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Mr. and Mrs. Shawnee. America and all the chips at sea. I think we need a Sunday morning show flag.
Ah.
How do we go about it, making a Sunday morning?
Oh, that's easy. You can order one online. We have to come up with a logo.
Yeah, a design.
You know.
So what do we put on it?
Well, of course, the WGN logo. Radio 720, WGN.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday morning with you guys.
It's going to have to be a really big flag if you want to put all that stuff on it.
What do you mean with you guys? Are you not on it? Are you not part of it?
I am.
Are you leaving?
I am. No, last week you said that the show should be Andy and those two other guys.
Andy O'Leary.
I heard that. That's good.
What'd you say? What was this about me leaving?
I said, are you leaving? And then while you were blabbering, I said, finally. I'm just kidding. But should our faces be? Well, we don't want our faces on.
No. No, we prefer to remain anonymous.
That's gauche. No other.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean, our pictures are on the website, so.
Yeah, but we should have a flag.
All right, we'll have to come up with this.
Flags are popular.
Flags are very popular.
What would be a good flag for this show? So when we go to appearances, the many appearances that we make, we can proudly display
the flag.
Yeah.
Well, I'll
have to think about
this.
That
requires some thought. Yes.
Yeah. Kind of my creative juices flowing here.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Well, I'm sure we have someone in our, you know, the audience that's artistic and would be able to come up with some ideas.
Somebody already has.
Uh-oh. I'm not surprised.
630 area code says, the flag needs to have the Dave Schwann target with an arrow going through.
Oh, yes.
Now, I think you're getting the hang of what I'm talking about. I was inspired to play this song by hearing the news this morning.
Boy, does this go back.
The SpaceX.
Wow.
The SpaceX safely landing. This morning, the Schwannie's been reporting in the news.
Splashing down on the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Amazing how they can do these with much more accuracy than before.
All it made me think of was when I was a little kid, when this song came out. The song is called Telstar and was named after the then infant-like space program, which they launched a satellite, right?
Yes, Telstar was a satellite, and it was the first satellite to provide transcontinental TV reception.
Yeah. But it was like the beginning of the space program, the beginning of going into space, putting satellites up, John Glenn, Alan Shepard, you know, the exciting times. This is back in the day, you know, when Schwannee and I were kids, and If they were putting a man in space just to orbit the Earth, right?
Yeah.
It was a big deal. The whole school.
Yeah.
The whole school.
We had TV. We watched it on TV in the classroom.
Black and white TV.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I played the part of the rabbit ears.
Excuse me?
I stood by the TV and maneuvered the rabbit ears around the TV set with aluminum foil.
That explains a lot. Were you also wearing an aluminum foil hat?
Yeah.
Protect yourself? No, I remember so clearly.
I looked like the robot in Day the Earth Stood Still.
Right.
Yeah.
It was such a big deal just to see the takeoff, just to see, you know, maybe a splashdown. That was such a big deal. And then, now we have, you know, these stories that of, you know, where it's practically nothing. And it's the first commercial space flight, right? The SpaceX?
The first commercial one with a spacewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a someone who was not trained to be an astronaut, like a John Glenn, like a Jim Lovell.
Like if I went
like up a there. Neil Armstrong. Yeah, just like if you and I went up.
It's like if I'm walking down the street and someone says, hey, you want to come and do a spacewalk? Do you have any training? No.
No.
Perfect. That's just
come on. You're just what we're looking
just
for.
Just what we want. Some dope off the street. In my case. Not necessarily the guy who did it. But, it's just the whole thing is, it still fascinates me. Brings out my childlike fascination with all this. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And the fact
if
that...
If you're of a certain age. Andy, do you have a... I mean, you're younger than us. So
yeah.
I don't think you share that initial, you know, JFK. Let's go to the moon and beyond.
No, that was before me. The only thing I remember about Telstar... correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that there was a Cubs game that was being shown to Europe from Wrigley Field, and Jack Brickhouse, I remember breaking into a broadcast or talking about
that's right,
saying that the people in Europe are seeing American baseball
on Telstar.
Yeah, I think I'm right about that.
Yeah, yeah.
That rings a bell with me too.
Yep, black and white transmission too. By the way,
no, that's the best. I watched a black and white movie last night. I was flipping around, and one of my all-time favorite movies, Now Voyager.
Oh, wow.
With Bette Davis.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic movie. Oh, my gosh. I stopped what I was doing, and I'm watching this, and I'm just looking at it going, what artistry this was to create a movie like this and the emotions that come out of a movie like this, all in black and white. To be able to do that without any color, the visualization that seems so necessary now. But I love black and white.
Some of those original negatives of those films aren't around anymore, but a nice clean print of something like that, those black and white films are amazing.
Yeah. I agree. Well, it's the whole SpaceX thing just took me instantly. I was listening to your newscast driving in. Yes, I listen to your newscast once in a while.
Thank you.
Once in a while, I do.
Nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Because I know Andy's coming up right after. See? But I'm listening, and in my mind, I'm going through all the historic space launches that we watched as kids. Neil Armstrong landing on the moon. Just the whole gamut that just went through my mind and, like a blast.
Yeah, right. Yep. Through the 60s. And don't forget, Apollo 13 in 1970,
right,
where primetime commercial television was interrupted because it was that dramatic that they had to have, kind of wall-to-wall, what we call wall-to-wall coverage now of the event. It was amazing.
Tom Skilling just talked with Captain James Lovell.
Did he?
They're doing what they're called Tom Talks. They have TED,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
TED Talks. They're going to start doing these things called Tom Talks, where Tom talks to fascinating people. And I believe that Captain Lovell is now 93.
That sounds about right.
Maybe off a year or two. But he's well into his 90s. He's still very articulate. And how about having a Tom Skilling sit down with one of the most famous astronauts in the history of mankind to talk about all kinds of things?
Has this been shown yet?
I don't know if it's going to be on TV or
just on the web.
Portions of it will be, or the whole talk is going to be on the web. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Definitely have to see that.
I just know that Tom, I'd spoken with Tom like right after he did it, and no pun intended, Tom was on cloud nine, when he...
Mm-hmm. I would be also.
Right?
Now, I have to see, you mentioned this on TV the other day,
You watched me on TV?
Yes, I did, actually. Wow. You mentioned this,
thank you for
latest documentary on Apollo 13, Survival.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You said it was really something. Cool. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool, but I think I speak for you, too. We're kind of nerds about this.
We are, yes.
You know, yeah. We're kind of, I think most people are, you know, certainly of our age, but I think a lot of people are still really fascinated by the space program.
Yeah, when you tell younger people about it, you can see kind of a, you know, enthusiasm or a fascination for it, right. You know, the early days.
Yeah.
Talk about something that had never, ever, ever been done before. Yeah. People leaving Earth.
Going where no man had gone before.
And
Gene Roddenberry.
And also the fact that, you know, there were some very serious critical moments that we weren't told about until later. In some of those early missions where they almost didn't make it back.
Nope.
They did. You know, John Glenn's heat shield on the Friendship 7 came loose, and they cut short the flight. He was supposed to go around a few more times, and they said, we're going to bring you back in.
Right.
They really didn't tell him why.
Yep.
And fortunately, everything held.
That's why I wear a heat shield to this day. I'm wearing one right now.
Well, you're the guy that wears the hazmat suit.
It's very comfortable in this unseasonably hot weather we're having. It's coming. A little chafing. You get a little chafing from it. But
all right.
Anywho. I know that this is a multi-generational. We have producer Colin with us today. Jack is off today. Jack Hammer is off today. And producer Colin, who does a fantastic job when he fills in, by the way. But his eyes have not rolled into the back of his head. When we, as producer Jack has described, the first half hour, he has no idea what we're talking about on the show.
Well, Colin, had you heard the song Telstar before?
No, I have not.
You have not? So you don't know what group that was?
No.
Oh.
Colin is a very curious person. He's a very thoughtful. I've noticed the last couple of weeks that he's been here with us. Thoughtful. I walked into the control room this morning because I got lost, like I always do. I walked into the wrong room. He's watching an interview with Orson Welles.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because? Explain why you were watching. You like these guys.
Yeah, the people like Orson and Hemingway, they just have an ability to tell stories that I wouldn't say we've lost, but we've kind of strayed from. The complexity of being able to tell a story on that level with that kind of precision is hard to do.
How about that? Listen to this kid.
Man, you could be a guest on this show anytime. That was great.
You're smarter than most of the guests we have on this show.
Well, thank you.
That is awesome.
Right? How old a man are you, Colin?
I'm 27.
Listen to this kid.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, if you mentioned Ernest Hemingway, you must love The Old Man and the Sea.
I haven't gotten... He's very hard to read because my brain rot from all the social media. But sitting down and getting to experience, I'm working on For
Whom the Bell Tolls. Yeah. That's a rough one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is A Farewell to Arms. The Old Man and the Sea.
Look at this.
That is a work of art. That's why he won the Nobel Prize, by the way.
The intellectual level of the show here today.
Can you hear my eyes rolling back in my head?
Andy and I are like, jingle some keys in front of me.
So when you're done with Hemingway, move on to John Steinbeck.
There's so many classical like authors that it's one of those where like, there's only so many books you can read in this life, and the list is too long, and I'm going to have to make exceptions for a few people.
Mm-hmm. There's our next idea for a segment on the show, Dean.
20 somehow the now thinks corner. He's on All Things Considered.
The book corner.
The what?
The book corner. The reader's corner.
The book corner. Okay, you want to host that? You want to take that one?
We're going to have Colin do it.
A couple of commercials ago, you heard a message from the Goodman Theater and their production, which opens today, Inherit the Wind, the classic production. And actor Harry Lennox. Harry will be joining us on the show today to talk about the new production. and some projects that he's got going on here in his hometown of the city of Chicago. So we'll look forward to talking with Harry Lennox later on. That'll be at 10:30 in our weekend theater segment.
I'm looking forward to seeing the play Wednesday night.
Because you think you're going to be depicted in it.
No.
As many of you know, I mean, Inherit the Wind is about the famous Monkey Scopes trial that was broadcast here on WGN. It was the very first courtroom proceeding ever to be broadcast over this new medium called radio. And Chwani thinks he's going to be in it.
I'm just going to be in the audience with Gilda,
like in the girlfriend. Like in the middle of the production. Let's go to WGN announcer Dave Schwann for an update. Do the far-flung forecast.
No, to be honest, the announcer in reality was Quinn Ryan, one of the pioneering announcers at WGN.
That's a great radio name, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Quinn Ryan reporting WGN.
He did everything here. You name it, any kind of show, he did it.
Really?
Yes. News, sports, music.
Cooking?
Cooking, probably, yes.
I like to think I did the first cooking show. I like to think that someday there'll be a play about my starting cooking show. But yeah, there is a very definite connection to WGN with the Scopes Monkey Trial of 1925 from 100 years ago.
That's right.
Harry Lennox joins us to talk about it all. Coming up in just a little while, let's get caught up with some news, and then Schwani's got your far-flung forecast next. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, it is time once again for America's Favorite, being broadcast over Telstar satellites all over the planet. The Far-Flung Forecast, our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. But before we get to today's Far-Flung Forecast, and I'm playing this music, this Andy Griffith Show music, that is now the theme song of the feature, we have to acknowledge young Mr. Joe Brand, who just recently left us here at WGN to accept a job doing play-by-play in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And Schwani, I thought you were joking last week.
Mm-mm.
When we said goodbye to Joe, and then you brought up later on that he left us a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were joking that that he left us a gift.
No, I was not joking. He left us a wonderful gift, and really something that was a family, kind of a family heirloom, you might say, or some. It was in his family.
It was like a collection.
Collection that, from his father.
That his father had.
Yes. Yes.
And now that he has moved to Pittsburgh, he's going through his stuff, and he said, I know a couple of guys that might enjoy this.
That's right.
Tell us what it is.
Okay, he called me, and I'm glad he did because I wanted to congratulate him on his new position anyway. But he called me and said, I'm packing everything up, and I have these items from my father. They are a collection of decorative commemorative plates from the Andy Griffith Show.
Wow, yeah.
And he gave us 8 of them, and they're the likenesses on them. They're in color. They have this Norman Rockwell-like look to them.
Beautiful. They're beautiful recreations of classic scenes from the
episodes. Yeah, exactly. Taken from classic scenes from, you know, the episodes. And we were looking at them online at first, and then, you know, actually looking at the actual plates, they really are very, very nice.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And when I showed them to you this morning, Dean, you just lit up. You were like, whoa.
They're beautiful.
Wow.
These commemorative plates are absolutely beautiful. So thank you, Joe.
Absolutely.
Thank you, the Brand family, for sharing this with us.
Yeah.
You couldn't have found two people who are going to appreciate them more. Schwani's already sold his on eBay, but I will certainly appreciate them.
You know what's... I guess, you know, you might say I'm a fan of the Andy Griffith Show.
No.
And I've been looking at these plates, and I know exactly what episodes they're from.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I can't wait to serve salad out of them.
No, we need to serve Aunt B's pickles or, you know, an apple pie.
Oh, Andy, I made fried chicken.
But it's the kind you like.
What is today's far-flung forecast,
okay.
May I ask?
All right. Today, you might say this is a continuation of a way in which we were talking about unusual names for places, because last week we had one of the most unusual names for a community, the Meadows of Dan in Virginia.
Okay.
Well, this week, my friends, get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices, because we go to No Name, Colorado.
That's the name of it?
That's the name. It is a town of 117 in Garfield County, Colorado. It is located off of Interstate 70. It has a rest area. And that's really about it.
What do you mean it has a rest area?
Off the interstate, you know, one of those rest areas, you know,
that's
restrooms.
That's the nicest thing you can say about this place?
Well, it has...
You talk about a town and, you know, what they've contributed. This town has contributed a toilet? When you're driving?
There's a no-name lane. There is a no-name creek and a no-name river.
Yes.
And that's just the fact that the early surveyors and so forth just couldn't come up with a name for the area. Yeah. They just named it No Name.
Yeah.
And the 117...
Well, when your claim to fame is a rest stop, I guess, why bother going to a lot of trouble?
So, yeah, I'm looking at a picture, exit 119 off of Interstate 70, there's an arrow that...
That's my favorite exit.
There. Says no name.
Yep.
And rest area beneath it.
Wow.
But now, you know, here's what's interesting. We that live in and around Chicago are Chicagoans, right?
Right.
Well, the people that are in No Name are No Namians.
No Namians, right.
And so in No Name, Colorado, we have sunny skies and 59 degrees today.
Yeah. Andy, I didn't know when it was going to come. I didn't know how it was going to come. We have finally run out of topics for the far-flung forecast.
It has jumped the shark officially.
Clearly, we have to mark this day down. Joining us to talk about that is Dr. Robert Liam, who has many titles, among them division head, hematology, oncology, neuro-oncology, stem cell transplantation, section head, hematology, the Annan Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. He's a professor of pediatrics. He is the director of their comprehensive sickle cell program. Dr. Liam, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Dean. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah. So tell me, what does Childhood Cancer Month mean? What does that encompass?
Yeah, it's really an important event for us here at Lurie Children's and at most children's hospitals, because it gives us an opportunity to spend the month of September raising awareness about childhood cancer. Of course, you know, September also is an important month for us because as director of the Center for Cancer and Blood Disorders, it's also awareness month for another important condition in our center, which is sickle cell disease. It's also, September is sickle cell disease awareness month as well. But it's all about raising awareness, educating the public about childhood cancer as well as sickle cell disease, and really raising some money so that we can continue to fight the fight.
So how different is cancer for a child than it would be cancer for an adult? Is it a different kind of cancer? Is it more insidious because it's attacking a small child?
Yeah, you know, that's a really great question. I think that, you know, people hear stories about their neighbors or friends or families that are affected by childhood cancer. And, you know, people don't necessarily know that it's still considered, childhood cancer is still considered a rare event or a rare complication, you know, in children overall. So just to give you some context, you know, every year when we look at children under the age of 15, only about 10 to 15 15,000 children in the U.S. are diagnosed every year with cancer. That is still a sizable number, but just as a comparison, you know, it's in adults every year, we see about almost 2 million adults every year in the U.S. affected by cancer. So it's still a relatively small number, but that's across the board. Kids can be affected by many different types of cancers. There are a lot of adult cancers that we don't see in kids, but the most common childhood cancer that we see is leukemia, yeah, followed by, unfortunately, cancers, tumors of the brain and spinal cord. We don't see breast cancer. We don't necessarily see lung cancer, prostate cancer, of course, those kinds of cancers that are more common in adults.
Yeah, I wondered which were the most common cancers for kids. I would have guessed leukemia, because that's what you hear about most often.
Yep.
And what kind of progress is being made?
There's been a lot of progress. I was going to just say that, you know, overall, when you look at, unfortunately, you know, mortality or causes of death in children, you know, under the age of 15, you know, childhood cancer is the second leading cause after accidents, you know, that contribute to death in children, unfortunately. And among, you know, when we look at death rates in kids caused by disease, you know, cancer then becomes the leading cause of death. You know, the prognosis and how we do in childhood cancer really depends on the type of cancer that we're treating. You know, we've made significant strides. If you look at the kinds of numbers that we were dealing with in the 1970s, you know, our survival rates are almost doubled now. Overall, if you look across all types of childhood cancer, you know, the survival rate overall is about 85% or so. But of course, you know, that survival rate can go down, you know, to less than 20% for some aggressive forms of brain tumors, for instance. But that compares to overall survivals of, you know, 40 to 50% in the 1970s. So we've made significant strides, but there's still about 10 or 15% of childhood cancer that is extremely hard to treat.
Yeah, I can't, you know, speak more highly of the work that you and all the doctors and nurses and staff at Lurie's do to help children get through this, and parents and families get through this very difficult time. You are truly angels on earth doing the work to help, you know, these little innocent kids that are suddenly, you know, struck with something that it seems like they have quite a bit of courage going into. What in my experience in dealing with this, I see these kids who are fighters. They are fighters against whatever, you know, they wind up being diagnosed with.
You're absolutely right. They're fighters. They're resilient. You know, that's part of the reason why, you know, when I was in medical school and wanted to go into pediatrics and then, you know, help to, you know, gain some experience taking care of kids affected by cancer and blood disorders, that's part of the reason why many of us go into this field. You know, kids understand the severity of their diagnoses, and yet, you know, when we're in the hospital and we're engaging with them during their treatments and stuff, they can still be normal kids. You know, they still play. They want to, you know, play video games. They want to engage with you. They want to, you know, see their friends. So it's a real special bond that our team has with these patients and their families. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Dean. Having a family go through a diagnosis of childhood cancer, having somebody affected in their, a child affected in the family, is devastating. And I'll never forget, you know, the first time I sat in a conversation where, you know, an oncologist I was working with as a medical student, you know, gave news to somebody, to a parent, about their child being diagnosed with leukemia. And you can just see in their face the panic and the fear about what it meant for their life, because all of a sudden everything changes at that time of diagnosis. Everything stops, and you know, we're here at Lurie Children's and at other childhood cancer centers to help patients and their families sort of get through this journey of treatment, and not only during treatment, but after treatment as well, because it can be a long, long road and a long journey. You know, I want to give credit and shout out to not only the pediatric oncologists and hematologists, the doctors who are taking care of these children, but, you know, at Lurie Children's and at many childhood cancer centers, this is why it's so important when you have a child who's diagnosed with cancer that they seek expertise and care at a pediatric specific cancer center, is that we have a very, very comprehensive and multidisciplinary approach. So we have an entire team of nurse practitioners, nurses, physician's assistants, child life specialists, pharmacists, psychologists, yeah, therapists, you know, social workers. Everybody is dedicated to helping a patient, a child, and their family get through this journey.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
I feel really special working at a place like that.
Of course, one of the best in the world, without a doubt. When we come back, I want to talk a little about Sickle Cell Awareness Month, which September also is. We'll do all of that with our guest, Dr. Robert Liam, coming up next. Dean Richards, Sunday Morning, The Week in Health. This week with Dr. Robert Liam from Lurie's Children's Hospital, where it is Childhood Cancer Month, trying to help raise some awareness about this problem. But it is also Sickle Cell Awareness Month. Dr. Liam, what is sickle cell?
Dean, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about sickle cell disease. You know, compared to cancer, I think it's definitely less known, and people just aren't aware of it. It's an inherited genetic blood condition that here in the U.S. affects people primarily of African or Afro-Caribbean descent, Black Americans. In the world, however, we also see it very commonly in parts of not only Africa, but the Middle East, as well as in India and South America. You know, because of the genetic mutation, your red blood cells don't make normal hemoglobin. That's the part of the red blood cell that helps to carry around oxygen. And so as a result, your red blood cells break down really easily and causes anemia. They're also really rigid and stiff, and that's where you get the name sickle. They're sickle shaped, and so they clog up your blood vessels and can cause excruciating pain episodes, as well as, you know, complications like stroke and heart-lung disease, an increased risk of infection, patients unfortunately have a lifelong journey of a lot of hospitalizations and complications, unfortunately.
Yeah, we unfortunately are out of time, but I would like, if you have a website, something where people can get more information on all of this, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think that, you know, our Children's Hospital, Lurie Children's Hospital, has a great website with information about childhood cancer as well as sickle cell disease. I would really just tell people to, you know, if you want to learn more about sickle cell disease, the National Sickle Cell Association of Sickle Cell Disease has a great website, as well as here in Illinois, the Sickle Cell Disease Association of Illinois. Lots of resources for the National Cancer Institute and the American Cancer Society that also has great information about childhood cancer.
Yeah, LurieChildrens.org is a good place to start, or, you know, just Google it all and you can find it at all those places. We really appreciate the great information, Dr. Robert Liam. I hope you have a great Sunday today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Dean, for the opportunity.
This is Dean Richards, Sunday Morning. Today is the first day of Hispanic Heritage Month. For all those celebrating Mexican Independence Day today, the big parade is today, stepping off at 12 noon from 26th Street, 26th in Albany, all the way down to Costner. You know, safe celebrating. The El Grito Fest continues today in Grant Park. You know, there. I guess there were some traffic things last night, right, Shwani, that related to the celebrations of people.
They actually closed off streets in order to avoid the problems they had last year. Yes, there were some closures in and around downtown as a result of that. And this morning, we really haven't had any significant reports of trouble.
Yeah, it's. I think they're. You know, everybody's calming down a little bit. There are plenty of avenues for people to celebrate, either in Grant Park or down in the Pilsen neighborhood today. But you know, people that I know are they're very proud of their heritage, as they should be, as we all should be, of our ethnic heritages, and you know, celebrating appropriately. And there's always you know, a few people that come along and spoil the party a little bit, but that seems to be under control. So hopefully everybody, you know, celebrating has a wonderful, wonderful celebration for today. Celebrate family. I've been in the 26th Street Parade many times. I'm not today. WGN TV, it has a float, though. WGN will feed, you know, Bozo is going to be there, and lots of your friends from WGN TV will be featured. And I've been in that parade many times, and it's nothing but families, generations, getting together and celebrating their ethnicity, which is great, right?
It is, but why aren't you going to be on?
I wanted to be here with you today.
Aww.
Sounded so sincere.
Wanted to be here with both of you.
Why, thank you.
That is a magnificent gesture of friendship.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm there with them in spirit.
You're welcome.
I've already had 4 or 5 margaritas this morning. So. I don't know if you've noticed, I got a little salt around the edges.
No, of no different than any other Sunday.
How good would that be right now?
A margarita? Ooh.
A nice margarita right now?
Give me a couple hours.
Do you like the ice cube or the frosty ones better?
Frosty.
You like
frosty? I like the either way, actually.
I think I like
salt
the ice
or no
cubes.
Salt on the rim.
I prefer no salt.
No salt.
Yeah. Reminds me of my Slurpees in my youth without the alcohol, of course.
It does. It does, and that's how you wind up having 4 or 5 of them before you know it.
Uh-huh. Same thing with drinks in Hawaii.
The tropical drinks.
Right.
With the fruit and the fresh fruit.
Yeah. Delicious.
And you sit there going, oh, this is nothing but pineapple. This is actually a healthy drink that I'm having right now. Somehow I think this is a healthy drink that I'm having.
Never mind the 50 grams of sugar that was in the syrup in the drink.
Right. Yeah. Do you have a favorite Mexican restaurant?
One favorite, I will have to say there was a place in the southwest side, and I'm hoping it's still there. It was called Mi Tierra on Kedzie, I think. Uh-huh. This was back in the 80s. Was wonderful. Fernando's is very good.
Fernando's.
Oh, yeah. Fernando's is very good.
I can remember any time I've gone into Fernando's. I rarely could remember leaving Fernando's. They make a killer margarita at Fernando's on Lincoln Avenue.
Yeah, yeah. And in my area of the city, La Cantina is on South Michigan. And then also Taco Maya is on State Street.
Yeah.
And there's tables in there, but it's largely a takeout place.
You know,
that's
place,
good. They've got great fajitas in there.
Sukasa, that's on...
Sukasa, yes.
Is that Ontario?
Been there for years.
Is that Ontario?
Yeah.
That's been there. It's got to be 40, 50 years that they've been
there. Oh, yeah. I was in there 40 years ago. Sure.
Do you know I went on my first radio job interview there?
Wow. At Sukasa?
Yeah. The program director said, let's meet over lunch. Let's go to Sukasa. And I thought I was Mr. Big Shot coming downtown, coming to a fancy Mexican restaurant. It's a good place.
Did you wear your leisure suit?
I don't know. This was the 1970s. I'm not sure what embarrassing wardrobe. I'm sure whatever it was pretty embarrassing. But I went to a place that's on Montrose. It used to be called Mythos Restaurant. You've heard me. Over the years, I've talked about this Greek place that used to be there, Mythos Restaurant, 2030 West Montrose, but it's now a Mexican restaurant.
And it's awesome.
And do you know how to pronounce it?
Because it's like X something, right?
Yeah, it looks like it should be...
Xochimilco?
Xochimilco.
Xochimilco, yeah.
Xochimilco. It's X-O-C-H-I-M-I-L-C-O.
Yeah, Xochimilco.
That's how you say that? Xochimilco?
Mm-hmm. Xochimilco.
Such a good restaurant.
Oh, my God. That is such a fantastic,
this is on Montrose?
Delicious restaurant. Yep. Montrose just...
just west of Damon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just west of Damon, between Damon and Western. Lovely wait staff, lovely room, incredible, incredible food. I'd wondered, Andy, if you'd gone there.
Cause oh, yeah.
I know it's in your neighborhood.
What did you have that you liked so much there?
What did I have? I had a dish with, it was like a combination, shrimp, carne asada.
Mm.
They have this, the sauce. It's a little bit spicy.
Very spicy.
It's mostly herbal. I mean, mostly aromatic, but there's a very definite kick to it, and it's so fantastically delicious. Can't recommend it enough. Xochimilco. I think that's my favorite, my current favorite Mexican restaurant.
You've mentioned this before.
How do you say that again?
Xochimilco. Xochimilco.
Xochimilco.
Xochimilco. And I think it's named for a city in Mexico.
Oh, really?
Somewhere. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we like that one. And we've discovered one in our neighborhood, too. It's called Mi Nueva Tierra.
It's been there for a while.
Yeah, it's on Claiborne, just a little bit north of Fullerton. And it's a nice little family place where they make a good margarita, and their food is really, really good there, too.
Yeah, we're lucky. We have I like Maria's. Have you ever gone to Maria's? That's near O'Hare. They have fantastic. I mean, I'm sure the text line's going to blow up with favorite Mexican restaurant, which is fine. We can talk about that on the food segment coming up later on today. But there's some good places. What is the place you just said, Andy?
Mi Nueva Tierra.
Mi Nueva Tierra, my new land.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's on, what's
it's street? It's on Claiborne, just a little bit north of Fullerton.
Claiborne and Fullerton.
Yeah. Okay. So between, is that Wrightwood and Fullerton?
Okay. Did you want to give your home address, too, in case people want to stop by your house after?
I don't live within walking distance, so it's all good.
Swanee, wouldn't that be nice if we went to the restaurant and then just stopped by Andy's house unannounced?
Well, I can tell you where we live. I can tell you guys where we live.
And then bring all our friends?
Oh, I would like, I'd like to do a show
just
there.
Hey, that's good.
Hey, we just thought we'd drop in.
I've got a little studio up in my office upstairs.
Let's do that. Let's make that a project where we do the show from each other's houses.
That'd be fine. I think it'd be fine.
I think it would be fine, too.
Yeah, you can check out all my my memorabilia and all that kind of fun stuff up in my little office.
Yep. Oh, can you imagine what Schwani's place is like?
I'm trying to picture it.
Hoarder, did you ever see the show Hoarders?
And now Joe Brand just added to it.
Joe Brand gave us some Andy Griffith memorabilia this morning. Yeah. Yep. All right. Listen, I got to take a break here because we have a very something very important coming up. I wanted to talk about the Bears game today.
Okay.
When you and Hamp and OB are on. Let's do all of that when we come right back. Ba-da-ba-da-da. 10:24. Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN, or as we like to call it this time of year, the Hamp and OB pregame show. Only they're not on till later this afternoon. You guys are not on till later this afternoon, right?
Yeah, we're on at 6. The game kicks off at 7:20 tonight.
Who?
Yeah, it's a Sunday night football game, nationally televised on NBC.
I would strongly suggest people tuning in for this, because Andy, what time did you get here this morning?
Right around 8.
Andy's going to be so loopy by the time the Tampa and OB come in.
Yeah. They get in, they'll probably be here about 5:30, 5:15, something like that. I'm going to go home.
Take a nap?
Do a little napping, take the dog out for a little bit, nice. Have some lunch, do my final prep for the show, and then come on in.
You know, if you ever need Schwani and I to fill in for you moderating that program.
Well, you know, be on standby.
Schwani, you be up for that?
Oh, I think it's fine.
I could just hear him saying that and have kind of looking at him going, what?
I'd be happy to join in.
And OB would be something like,
delighted.
It's not going to be fine if you keep that up.
Come on, Shrunny, do it. Come on, Shrunny, do it.
If you think you're going to be on this show for 30 seconds, you are very seriously mistaken.
My favorite.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's my favorite thing about this time. I don't care what else is happening in the world. I just want to hear Shrunny doing OB.
I don't want to be on the same floor.
I think Shwani like or OB likes us though.
He calls you the hardest working man in show business. By the way,
we had the nicest talk last week.
Yeah, I did too. He was a very, very, very friendly
he
person.
He likes us.
Yep.
I think if we ever filled in for Andy, it would be a disaster. Number one,
no, it would not be a disaster.
but it would be. It would be. Have you ever heard Shwani and I talking about sports?
Yeah,
it would be a disaster.
I like to think I've taught you a little something over the years.
Well, I can't speak for Shwani. I haven't been paying one bit of attention. But fortunately, Andy will be here.
Yes.
To moderate the proceedings, which will begin, again, 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock tonight, yeah. We'll go to 6 to 7, and then we'll come back out after the game is over, roughly 10:30, and we'll take you all the way to midnight.
And they're taking on Houston this week, the Bears.
Yeah.
And Caleb, what are they calling it? Caleb's Corner, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Someone's come up with some cutesy name for it. What are you anticipating? What are the things that we should look out for?
Well,
that would be the only question. If I was moderating, I would just keep asking Hap and OB over and over. What are the key things we should be looking for tonight?
You could kill a good 30 minutes with that. Because they would go. They have
those two, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of things.
And then after the news break, ask the same questions.
Yeah.
What are the key questions?
Over
key
and over.
Well, you could ask about the keys for the Bears, and then you can ask about the keys for the Texans, and you got yourself a show.
But Caleb is playing a key role in this.
Yes, he is.
I think you may know a little less about this than I do.
He is the focus.
Which doesn't seem possible, but... All right.
Yeah.
So what should fans, even though I know everyone's going to be watching the Emmy Awards tonight, not the Bears.
No. Why would they want to do that?
And let me just mention, I'll be recapping the Emmys, so don't worry. I know most of you are not going to be watching the Emmy Awards. I will have all the highlights tomorrow morning because we're going to focus on the Bears and the Texans tonight. Yeah. So what should we be looking for?
Well, the Bears did not win any Emmys on offense last week, I'll tell you that.
Look at you, tie-in.
Yeah, they were pretty pathetic on offense, and it's disheartening to think about, obviously with Caleb Williams being the guy, but there was some extenuating circumstances. I think a couple of guys were hurt. The top three receivers only played 10 snaps together the entire game, and that's not many for those that don't know everything about the NFL. But that's not good to not have them on the field at the same time for more than 10 snaps. And today, two of those three receivers are questionable and will be game-time decisions. That's Rome Odunze and Keenan Allen. Bears all had to place an offensive lineman on injured reserve yesterday, so they're a little thin on the offensive line. And they're playing a team that's really good. The Texans drafted C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State last year. He became the Offensive Rookie of the Year and led the Texans to the playoffs, went over the Browns. And they're good on offense, and they've got a new running back that they took over from the Bengals, who ran wild. Joe Mixon, who ran wild last week against the Colts, so this is going to be a tough test. But the only way I think that the Bears stay in this game, they get a little more offense than they got last week, and the defense and the special teams play as well as they did last week. It's going to be a tough one. This is going to be a tough road. It's a home opener for the Texans. And like I said, they're good.
Yeah. And Caleb took a little bit of a beating last week, didn't he?
He did.
Coming up short on offense.
Yeah.
So doesn't a superstar like him, doesn't he bounce back from something like that? And, maybe have a fantastic week? That's what we're all hoping for.
Certainly hoping. And, for everything that's being talked about at Hallis Hall this week is that Caleb came into the building on Monday morning with Coach Eberflus, and they watched the tape, and he understood what he was doing, and he saw things that, a lot of quarterbacks wouldn't see, And the biggest thing for a rookie, and especially coming in with all the Hollywood attributes that he has, he took responsibility for it, not only in that room, but also with his teammates. So I think they respect him for that.
Yeah. Yep. Shrani, did you have any follow-up questions for Andy?
Now, what is the key role that you'll be playing in tonight's broadcast, Andy?
I will be playing the moderator and your traffic cop to get us to and from breaks.
Go Bears!
Sponsors are, you know, we've got a lot of sponsors on the show. Got to get them, make them happy.
I think everyone's getting an idea.
They're playing a key role also.
A very key role. Mm-hmm.
Everyone's getting a pretty clear idea why Shawnee and I should never.
I enjoy it. Come on. I enjoy it.
Because my first question to Hamp would have been, Hamp, what kind of gum do you like?
In a child's power to master the multiplication table, there is more sanctity than in all your shouted amens and holy holies and hosannas.
10:38, Dean Richards, Sunday morning,
WGN. Is a greater
monument
than a cathedral.
This is a scene from one of the greatest movies ever, Inherit the Wind, starring the great Spencer Tracy. This was an all-star cast. Spencer Tracy, Frederick Marsh, Gene Kelly starred in this movie. Harry Morgan, who we know, I guess, best from the TV series MASH. A young Dick York, who is Darren Stevens on Bewitched, starred in this 1960 movie. It is just a completely all-star cast. Claude Akins, Norman Fell from The Ropers starred in this movie. And it is, it's very definitely a star-studded film, but it is this powerful story about a courtroom scene about that's fighting creationism versus evolution. In many ways, still a battle which continues today. And the Goodman Theater's 99th season opener is tonight. It is a major revival of Inherit the Wind, directed by the great Henry Godinez, and stars Harry Lennox as the defending attorney Harry Drummond. That's the role that Spencer Tracy plays in this movie. And just the story itself is just a powerful one. It is incredibly thought-provoking. And it happened 100 years ago, just about 100 years ago, 1925, the so-called Scopes Monkey Trial, which became a national sensation when a school teacher was prosecuted for teaching evolution to his students. And this trial was the first time ever that a live trial was broadcast over the airwaves. Now, think about it. This is 1925. This is, radio hasn't even begun to hit its, power yet. So it's kind of an experimental thing of taking microphones into a courtroom to broadcast the proceedings of this trial for which there was tremendous, tremendous controversy over the theory of evolution. You know who broadcast that trial? You probably know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. That trial was broadcast, very first trial ever on radio, here on WGN Radio. Right here on WGN. Right down the hallway. If I walk down the hallway right now, I could show you the microphone that was used. That's all that we have. Oh, I wish we had that. I mean, there really was no recording technique, any kind of easy recording techniques from back then. But we do have the microphone that was in the courtroom, and it's on display in a display case. The microphone is there. And Shawnee was there. There's a picture of Shawnee. Holding the microphone.
They actually set up, by the way, that microphone was on loan to the Smithsonian for a while. But they also set up a radio network from WGN.
So other stations
carried it, yeah.
But we were first, though.
We were the first, yeah. And that really was a trailblazing effort. 1925, wow. You know, all you had was phone lines.
Can't even imagine what it must have taken to do a live broadcast back then. I don't even know. I can't even imagine what that must have been like. These days, I could just walk in there with my phone.
Right.
And set it up, and I could you can go on live. I mean, we have apps, and, you know, we have technology and so forth. You know, to enable to be able to go on live like that. But back then, I mean, this microphone that's in the hallway that was actually from the Scopes Monkey trial is gigantic.
Yeah,
it's like it's the size of a shoebox. The microphone itself is the size of a shoebox. It's gigantic, and you know, to think about what kind of wiring must have taken place. You said that was all done over phone lines back then?
Had to have been, yeah. And phone lines were, think about it, relatively new in 1925. Parts of the country did not have phone service.
Right.
So they definitely had to use telephone lines, what we would call hardwired lines today, or landlines.
Yeah.
And
I like when you use broadcast technology.
Running from Dayton, Tennessee, which is where the actual trial took place, to Chicago, and now it's anybody's guess as to how they actually set up this network. I don't know. But if you go down to the Dayton, Tennessee courthouse there, there's the actual courtroom is still used for county court these days. And there's a museum in the basement. WGN is talked about prominently there.
Doesn't you guys were talking earlier about the moon landing and everything. In hindsight, with the technology that we have today, doesn't everything that happened in the olden days, to me, I'm young, seem impossible? Doing it over phone lines, like sending a spaceship to space with
well, relatively the computers speaking, they had, yes, it
I,
does.
I, yeah. I think it does, given that this was 100 years ago. And, you know, radio really didn't come into its own, what would you say, Shawnee, until like the 1930s?
30s, yeah.
In the 30s and the heyday.
More commonplace.
The golden days was in the 40s with Fibber McGee and Molly and Jack Benny and, you know, all the classic old radio shows. But 1925, it's literally in its infancy. And, you know, they were inventing how to do all this stuff then.
Yeah, absolutely.
This had never been done before, to take a microphone. I mean, they barely were able to do broadcasts in studios then. That was a challenge, to do it from an actual broadcast studio. But to take the microphones out to run telephone lines or connect through telephone lines from Chicago to Tennessee, that's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
That they were able to do that.
Yep. There's a part in the play where WGN's actually mentioned.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Toward the end. Where there's an announcer and Drummond, who actually in real life was Clarence Darrow, they're talking and Drummond looks at him. What is that? Oh, it's a microphone. We're going to be on the air. And he's testing. This is WGN coming to you live.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It was Clarence Darrow, and who was the opposing?
The real life opposing attorney. William Jennings Bryan. Yeah.
I mean, two of the most legendary attorneys of all time that actually had battled this out.
And Bryan ran for president unsuccessfully 3 times.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing history. We're very proud to have been part of it, and one of the many things that WGN was on the forefront of in our 100-year history, you know, that we are now celebrating. But this Scopes Monkey trial of 1925 was certainly one of them, and Inherit the Wind brings it all back. Shwani, how would you rate the killing of time that we've just done?
I think it's fine.
Yeah, do you think we've done a good job?
I think we have, yes.
Yeah, we're scheduled to speak. I can no longer hold back. As Clarence Darrow said 100 years ago, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I can no longer hold back that our guest is not where he was supposed to have been when we were supposed to contact him. I said he is not where he is supposed to be at this time.
Can I add another personal little
Harry,
story?
Just real quick, Harry Lennox, who plays the Spencer Tracy role in Inherit the Wind.
He plays Drummond.
He plays Drummond in the role. Chicago actor, fantastic guy. I don't know what, for some reason, poor wire. We were able to make the connection in 1925.
But we can't not do it
for some
in
reason,
2024.
For some reason, 100 years later, we ain't coming up with squat right now. As Williams Jennings Bryan said, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we are not coming up with squat at this time. I rest my case.
You should be in the play.
Thank you. I'd love to be. Anyway, we were supposed to connect with them. For some reason, we're not able to connect with Harry Lennox. We're hoping that shortly we'll be able to make the connection, but that's why Shwani and I have been babbling for the last 10 minutes about this, because we're hoping that we're going to make the connection.
If you have a few more minutes, I've got a little personal anecdote to tell in regards to this.
The defense calls as its first witness, David Schwann.
Do you swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Cite me.
Take off your hat.
Raise your right hand.
Now put your left hand here.
Andy, you just knew this was going to evolve into a Three Stooges bit, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Take off your hat.
It was only a matter of time.
He's asking you if you'll swear.
No, but I know all the words. We are such dorks.
Now Harry Lennox will not be on the show.
He's embarrassed. You know what the problem was? He heard the first hour of the show.
He won't come now.
He decided he didn't want to be part of this.
No, seriously. My dad and I did a road trip in 2012 down to Charleston, South Carolina, and Savannah, Georgia. And on the way back, we did a detour to Dayton, Tennessee, because we wanted to see this courthouse where the real Scopes trial took place.
Oh, that's cool.
And we, like I said, we spent a couple hours there. It's still a big deal in that town, still to this day.
Really?
Yeah. And we were in the museum in the basement, as I said. They talk about WGN, and there's pictures from the Chicago Tribune there. And I'll always remember my dad going up to a couple people saying, you know, I was alive when this actually happened. And he was. He was only 3 years old,
right?
But he was alive. So,
did he brag that you were on WGN?
We talked about it, yeah. Yeah, we mentioned it to the people that were there. There's a bookstore across the street, and all they sell is, Inherit the Wind books or Scopes Monkey Trial books.
I don't know that I like that this is in the basement.
Of the courthouse, though. You go up two floors, and you're in the actual room.
Why can't it be in the actual courtroom where it took place? Why do they have to put it in the basement next to the furnace?
That's an old building,
next
too.
Next to the old mop buckets down there.
Oh, I don't know. It's very nicely done.
That's got to be a really old building if it was. I mean, if they're still using that same courtroom.
Yeah, I would say the building was probably built the 1890s, maybe? Yep. 1900? That was still very much in use, in 25, 1925. But, boy, talk about American history.
Yeah.
And broadcast history.
Well, and I will say, normally I would trash a guest who is supposed to be on the show and doesn't show up. I would be merciless. But I really like Harry Lennox quite a bit. I've done many, many interviews with him. I kind of know him, pretty well. He's an amazing man. He's a man of integrity and... Just something, wires got crossed or something this morning. So hopefully we'll find him before the top of the hour. But I can't imagine the kind of gravity that he would bring to this role.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, he's
Are you going?
I haven't set a date yet because it's a little bit busy. Tonight is the actual opening of the production. It runs tonight through October the 13th. And the official opening, the press opening, actually is Monday, September 23rd. How are you going before the official press opening?
Tickets were available. That's all I can say. Mm. And I would like to add this.
What night are you going?
Wednesday night.
You want me to get some tickets right next to you so we can talk during the show?
I have, Gilda and I are going. We don't, we'll talk about that later, but... You want to sit right next to us, huh?
I want to sit right next to you.
So you can bother me?
So we can talk.
Just during the play,
hey,
yeah.
Shawnee, you want some Twizzlers?
Did they have Milk Duds out there?
Junior Mints.
Hey, Shawnee, you want some peanut brittle? It won't make any noise. It's okay. From the unemployment line to the self-made man, this working-class musical works for tips. The Full Monty bears it all at the Paramount Theater, playing now through October 6th.
In this hilarious musical, unemployed steelworkers hit on a brilliant plan to survive a layoff. Through connection and song, they find resilience and tap into their blue-collar work ethic to survive tough times together. Get tickets at ParamountAurora.com or call 630-896-6666. Use promo code WGN for up to $5 off each ticket for up to four tickets.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric. You've seen those free furnace ads, or those free with the purchase of any air conditioner. Well, we all know those are too good to be true. At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric, we give an upfront, honest price. And I personally guarantee to beat any buy one, get one free offer by $1,000. Guaranteed. That's right, any free furnace offer, I'll beat it by $1,000. Guaranteed. So call today.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
You know, I've been thinking about our backyard, and it really could use a bit of an upgrade. I'm thinking about calling Arkadek.
You know, you're right, but what are you thinking?
Well, for starters, we need new pavers and possibly a new deck. And you know I always wanted an outdoor kitchen. And pergola.
Pergola? Honey, you know I don't eat pasta.
Pergola isn't a pasta dish. It can cover our deck or back patio to provide nice shade. And they really can make our space feel quaint and stylish. And I know the perfect company for the job, Arkadek of Chicagoland.
Yes, Arkadek. They're the ones that build the neighbor's deck. Let me book that free consultation now.
Let Arkadek of Chicagoland help you enjoy your backyard space again. Paver patios, decks, screen porches, outdoor kitchens, and more. Visit ArkadekofChicagoland.com and check out their photo gallery to get inspired for your new outdoor space. ArkadekofChicagoland.com. That's ArkadekofChicagoland.com.
It's David Hochberg from Home Sweet Home Chicago. Laugh while learning about real estate this Saturday at 10 a.m. Mr. Jennings, who are my guests?
Frank Wasilewski from Access. Joseph Metalicino from KCT Credit Union. Pete Marrero, Blue Sky Restoration Contractors. And Jeremy from Mega Pros Home Improvement and Restoration.
Download podcasts to previous shows and submit all your questions at WGNDavid.com. Home Sweet Home Chicago with me, David Hochberg, this Saturday at 10.
At the Midwestern University Speech, Language, and Physical Therapy Institutes, they take time to get to know you. Their student and faculty providers offer unrushed and thorough health care. Experience the Midwestern difference for your speech, language, and physical therapy needs with state-of-the-art technology and specialized services. Located off of I-355 and Butterfield Road, visit MWUClinics.com to learn more. MWUClinics.com to get more information about the Midwestern University Clinics, your family's home for health care. And Colin, give me a thumbs up or thumbs down here for okay. All right. We'll continue with something. We're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants here this morning. So, coming up, I know we've got some guests coming up.
Have you heard from anybody yet?
Well, I've recorded these interviews, so I know that they're...
Oh, okay.
These next big A-list interviews are recorded. So we are going to have James McAvoy, who's got a pretty great new movie out this weekend that's called Speak No Evil. If you like scary and suspenseful movies, he stars in the new one, Speak No Evil. We're going to talk with him after 11:30. And also Catherine Hahn is starring in a brand new series that's streaming right now. Agatha Almost, I believe is the name of that. And we had a nice conversation with her. She just delivered the commencement address at Northwestern. So that's nice. When's the last time you did that?
Next time will be the first for me.
Have you ever delivered a commencement address?
No.
No. I am. It's ironic you should mention that, though, because next weekend's my 50th high school class reunion.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think I spoke in my graduation back in 1985.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, I had a speaking role.
I was barely there.
I was going to say, did they let you in?
Where was your graduation, your high school?
Highland High School, class of 1974.
But in the high school itself?
Yes, we were in the field house, the gym. Yeah.
How about you, Andy?
We were on the Main East football field.
Oh, in the football
field. Yeah.
We did our graduation at Medina Temple.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Now a casino.
Now a casino.
Could have played some slots while I was waiting to get my diploma.
Where is Mr. Richards? Oh, he's involved with the game.
He's on the craps back table.
Seven.
Come on, baby. Papa needs a new pair of shoes. Come on, baby. Well, that was a big deal to the Medina Temple.
It was a big deal.
It was. We had a big, I went to Chicago Vocational High School. I'm also trained in the graphic arts. My dad thought it would be a good idea for me to have a backup plan if this radio thing didn't work out. And we're still not sure if it has.
That makes two of us.
Yeah. So if you need any business cards or wedding invitations, I can get right on the press and print those up for you. What I was thinking about the other day, I really did. I have to, at CVS you had a major in a vocation, and I took graphic arts and I learned how to be a printer, and all of those things that I learned are now, every single thing is obsolete.
Obsolete, yeah.
Every yep. single thing is obsolete.
Just like learning how to thread a reel-to-reel tape recorder.
Yeah. All that stuff.
Do you know what we're talking about, Colin? You know how to do that, don't you?
No. I mean, I know what it is, but I couldn't do it if you asked me to.
Do a little splicing on it?
Yeah, I've seen the Wright brothers also, but it doesn't mean I can fly a plane. Producer Colin filling in today, doing a fantastic job, by the way.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, one of the best classes I think I've ever took in high school was typing.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I mean,
right. To this day, I mean, to this minute, to this minute, we're using those skills right here.
Yeah. Except it's not on those archaic typewriters that we used to use.
Good old Mrs. Petroselli. F, 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 space, F.
Yeah. They're still chanting that in high school
yes,
today.
Are.
You know, I think we actually had the early versions of the old IBM Selectric typewriters.
You were fancy.
That was a summer school class.
Northwest Indiana. I took one typing class, and it was on these old...
Those old Remington-like...
I don't even remember the
machines.
Name of the brand, but yeah it was archaic then. But, you learned how to do it.
Did they teach you how to change the ribbon in the machine?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Never a pleasant task.
Mm-mm. No. Inevitably, you'll get ink all over your fingers.
Everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah, I got ink everywhere. And then came along whiteout.
Uh-huh.
The greatest invention ever.
With the whiteout cartridge on the old Smith Coronas.
Oh, that was the greatest, where you just hit an erase button.
Yeah.
And it would automatically do it by itself, and you didn't have to unscrew the bottle. And
no, well, there's one that had a cartridge. You had to pop out the ink cartridge and put in the
correct
whiteout cartridge and hit the same letter
that was
and
nice.
Then go on. Yeah.
I had that. The first... the first, what do you call it, like electric typewriter mm-hmm. that I had, had that on it.
Yeah.
Because I made so many mistakes.
Me too.
I went through that whiteout cartridge like there was no tomorrow. But, yeah, anywho, that was our, how did we get on high school?
Commencement.
Oh, and, yeah. Talking about giving commencement addresses right. and reunions, yeah. that Catherine, kind of thing.
Yeah, Catherine Hahn gave yeah. She gave the commencement address at Northwestern where she went to school. That's pretty cool.
That is awesome. Cool.
Pretty cool.
Very cool. Yeah. So, what are we going to talk about now? We still have more time to fill, do we?
Oh, we got nothing but time to fill. Where's Hamp and OB when we need them?
I just got a text from OB. He's doing some prep work for the show.
Can you get him to come in a little early?
Sure.
I guess still got a theater segment to do. I could do it with him.
Oh, that would be great theater.
That is still my dream, by the way.
I know.
To have OB go see a play. I should make OB go see Inherit
the Wind.
And then come back and give us a review.
Can I make a request?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to see the play this week.
Yeah.
I would like to do a review next week on the show.
All right.
So,
how much is it worth to you?
Do you have a sponsor?
You know that we sell spots on the show.
Yes, I know that.
This isn't just for fun. I doubt I'm going to see it before. Well, the press opening isn't until a week from tomorrow anyway. So they don't like the actual reviewers to be there.
Oh, okay.
Until the
all right. Well,
press
I'll hold off then.
No. You can. You're going to a preview, apparently.
Yeah. Well, the tickets were available. So
yeah.
I might add also, seriously, with all the great theater and music that we have in our city.
Yes.
If you're going to buy tickets online, go to the site for the actual theater, because there are various things you can click right on and buy, and you'll be charged exorbitant, service fees and everything. Avoid that. Make sure you're on the right website for the right theater.
Well, just be careful that you're not on a ticket reseller.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That's the thing.
It's so easy to click on to this.
I know, because they make it look like it's an official
site.
Yes,
they do.
So either, I'm going to add on to what you're saying. Either purchase directly from the theater, make sure it is directly from the theater, or the League of Chicago Theaters Hot Tix,
right.
Which is that's a discount price site. And they take the tickets from the theaters, if they anticipate that they're going to be extra seats, they take those seats and they sell them sometimes at half price. And that's hottix.org. I think it's .org. HOTTIX, hottix.org, that's another good place to purchase tickets as well.
And if you're still in doubt, call the box office.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly right.
Okay. Just wanted to add that I found out the hard way about various websites, so...
Yeah,
don't do what Schwani did.
Sometimes those ticket, what looks like a legit site number either is a ticket reseller, and you're going to pay exorbitant fees, or it's a total scam,
mm-hmm.
and you give them all your credit card information, and then forget it. You don't know what's going to happen after that.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with selling tickets at all. It's just about getting your credit card numbers
and getting a lot of money.
Yeah. So you got to be careful with all that.
Yep.
That's
why I brought this up.
That's the bottom line. So when you go to see Inherit the Wind, you're going Wednesday, you said?
Yes.
So right in the middle of the play, I want you to stand up and yell, where were you on Sunday morning when you were supposed to be on Dean's show? I want, it's some really dramatic part of the show.
Your Honor, I object.
Your Honor, we are arguing creationism and evolution. And then from the audience, you hear Schwani, how come you weren't on the show? How come you stiffed us on the show?
I'll leave that to you. You said you were going to come and sit next to me anyway. I'll let you do it.
I think I might be mad at them now. I'm not sure if I'm...
Oh, no, don't do that.
No, I'm only kidding.
I can't wait to see this. I really can't.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for your review.
Okay. Well, good.
Looking forward to that.
I'll have it ready for you next Sunday.
All right. So I'm going to take a break, and some fancy schmancy food site decided to rank what they consider to be the best pizza in the world. Is a Chicago pizza place on that list of the 10 best pizza places in the world? Schwani, what would be your guess of how many Chicago pizza joints made it onto this list?
I would imagine maybe a couple, three. I know there's one for sure. As we wait in suspense.
You would be wrong on all counts.
Really?
Not a one Chicago pizza joint on this list.
Wow.
On this so-called list. it's a place called Una Pizza Napoletana in New York, which is the number one. They list as the number one pizza place. And then after that, it's two places from Italy, a place in Tokyo. It's called the Pizza Bar on 38th in Tokyo, comes in number three. A place in Milan, a place in London, San Francisco, Italy, Spain. Apparently, we don't have any decent pizza here in Chicago.
Well, it's better for us.
More pizza for
us. More pizza for us.
More pizza for us.
No lines.
Right.
Yeah, no lines at these places. Mm. Or bigger lines. They want lines there, of course.
Here's what I think of the list.
Yeah. I think you're giving it more respect than it deserves.
Yeah, I gave him a little more rip than they needed. This week, one of the big movies to open up is from James McAvoy. You definitely know James McAvoy's face. He's been in tons of movies, mostly dramatic, but he is probably best known for his roles in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And now he brings his considerable talent to this suspense-filled, I guess I would call it a horror movie, Speak No Evil, because it definitely, it starts innocently enough and rather charismatically, to be honest with you, and then turns kind of dark and creepy and suspense-filled. And then the final act of this movie is just a, you know, the anything goes horror movie. It actually turns kind of bloody and graphic. But I like this movie, and I don't normally, I'm not the biggest fan of horror movies. I've said a million times because the stories are usually, just churned out. They're not very interesting. This one pays quite a bit of attention to the story about this very charismatic couple on vacation in Tuscany. They meet another couple on vacation. You've had this probably happen on vacation where you meet people on vacation, you kind of hit it off. Sometimes you stay in touch afterwards. Sometimes you get together afterwards. That's what happens in this case, because this couple just seems so friendly and warm and nice. And, hey, why don't you come and visit us at our country home? And, that's a great idea. And then they do wind up visiting them in their country home, and that's when things turn dark and weird. I don't want to give away too much of what happens, but it is a complete turnaround of these people that they met on vacation. That's when it gets, you know, dark and super suspenseful. And I think it's all powered around the performance by the subject of our A-list interview, actor James McAvoy, because he is just so great in the beginning of this movie, warm and charismatic, and then just the absolute epitome of evil toward the end of this movie, Speak No Evil. We sat down, we talked in New York just a couple of weeks ago. Enjoyed the movie, enjoyed your chat last night.
Oh, were you there?
Yeah.
Nice one, thank you. It was a nice chat, actually, and Juju, who hosted, was really nice. You did a good job, I thought.
Yeah.
Ready when you are, Dean.
Dean Richards, WGN Chicago. Congratulations on this. Nice job.
Thank you.
And thank you for ruining me ever talking to anybody on vacation again.
I know. The moral of the story is
keeping to myself from now on.
Do you not make friends on vacation?
Yeah. And that's what's really interesting with this in your performance is that you're so friendly and so charismatic. And then as the movie goes on, you have the talent, the skill to begin to crack that facade.
Yeah, hopefully.
Things get a little dark. I mean, how do you manage that? I mean, is that...
Do you know what? Just when I read the script the first time, I thought, you know, all right, you're playing a villain, playing a bad guy, but you've got the opportunity to entertain and pull the audience from pillar to post a little bit in terms of their moral center, and it's fun manipulating an audience that way. So that was the whole. That was the key attraction in doing this part for me, was that modulation from, like, and sometimes that modulation happens within a scene as well, of being completely approachable, being completely disarming, completely friendly to malevolent and threatening, you know, and getting to do that. Like I say, that was the draw for me.
Yeah. Is that the draw? I mean, you're no stranger to these kinds of movies. Is that the fun, attraction to you?
Yeah, and look, I think Blumhouse do this time and again, and James has written a script that does this so brilliantly, but you as an audience sitting in the theatre get this communal experience which enables you to laugh and be frightened all as a group, and it's entertainment unabashedly. But at the same time, it's what Blumhouse do really well, which is they've laced it with a certain sort of social point to make, a social commentary as well. And this film is about... It's about social compliance. It's about how much we're willing to accept through politeness, and the price we pay for that as well. And it's awesome to be a part of that.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it, that like certain genres occasionally need to reinvent themselves, whether it's, you know, the superhero genre that's going through a transitional thing right now. Horror genres have gone through it with Blair Witch and others that completely turned the genre on its head. And I think movies like this, too, that are a little more cerebral, more than just disembowelment and, you know, blood and guts, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the horror in this film is sort of unseen and unspoken for such a long time. It's called Speak No Evil. And I think that leaves a lot to the audience's imagination. And so the tension can ramp and ramp and ramp and ramp and ramp. But yeah, I think that horror is one of the most fertile genres at the moment for subverting just what you think is a piece of entertainment, a piece of schlock sometimes, you know what I mean? Because I think that's the opinion people have of horror sometimes. It's just schlock. And yes, it can be. It can be just blood and gore and spectacle. But actually, a film like this it's got roots in stuff that we recognise and see and live every day. And that does, for me, it elevates it beyond just the popcorn, you know. But when you can combine the popcorn with something to say, I think you're in a really good space.
Normally, I'm a big advocate of having the audience shut up while they're watching the movie. But it was actually... added to the fun last night.
Yeah, definitely.
People were screaming, like, don't go here, don't go this. Oh, no, you're not going to do this or that.
We had I was lucky enough to watch it with a crowd in San Diego just a couple of days ago, and getting to be there for the laughs, getting to be there for the screams, getting to be there for the oh-no's, but also right at the end, people screaming and shouting and like, happy that somebody was getting it at the end of the movie. And then it all went quiet, and one person just went, get him, Tiger! And the entire audience then gave that woman a round of applause. It was brilliant. It was so good.
Yeah.
That is James McAvoy, the star of Speak No Evil. Wound up being the number two movie in America for this weekend so far. It looks like Beetlejuice will continue as the number one movie, with taking in $51 million. Speak No Evil follows that, and then it's Deadpool and Wolverine as the number three movie. The documentary, Am I Racist, comes in the number four spot. That's always very unusual. And then the dramatization, Reagan, rounds out the top five movies at the box office. We continue with our Dean's List A-List interviews this week. All the big A-listers with all the new projects that are out. like James McAvoy and like Catherine Hahn, who has starred in so many movies and television shows. She is now spinning off onto her own series called Agatha All Along, which is a spinoff of Marvel Studios' WandaVision. She plays Agatha Harkness. And when I sat down and talked with her, we connected immediately because she's got a Chicago connection. She graduated from Northwestern in 1995, and this past June actually delivered the commencement address for Northwestern's class of 2024. So she was very, very happy to talk about our city.
Love Chicago.
I know. How was the commencement address, Miss Fancy Pants, this past summer?
It was really, really, really special. I'll never forget it. It was very moving.
It has to be a little surreal to go to school there, right? And then be asked to do the commencement address for the graduates.
Yeah, I in my mind, of course, can only see the list of people that they went through. But it was very, yeah, I took it really seriously. I was a tortured writer leading up to it, but it was beautiful.
Yeah, what was your experience at Northwestern? You were a 1995 graduate, I think, right, Kathy?
Yes, I met my husband there. And I, you know, it's kind of where you meet your peeps. So like those, like it's kind of some of my friends there is like how I really learned my comedy lens, you know, through their eyes. We all kind of learned it to get like senses of humor and morals.
More importantly, where did you hang out? You know, do you have favorite places to eat and maybe have a drink or two?
Yesterday's, that's where we watched the OJ Simpson chase.
No.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Classic. Well, classic. So, Agatha, is back. What was it like returning to all this and being spun off? That's a huge honor.
Yeah, I'm still kind of in a fever dream about it. Just doing the press and seeing like even just like merchandise, like seeing things that say it's all very trippy. But I mean, Jack Schaefer, who wrote WandaVision, the way she wanted to do this, Agatha's show was so compelling and felt so on. I mean, I'd follow her to do anything. I just think she's an incredible brain, incredible writer. But the way that she wanted to saw this was so exciting. Yeah, very, very exciting. Very in the world, in the tone, kind of as WandaVision, but it completely its own thing again. Like she's not relying on anything that worked the first time. Oh my God.
Go ahead. Yeah. I was about to bring Joe in. What was it like for you to you know, hop on all of this?
It was amazing. I mean, the show is so incredible and so different to any of the Marvel series that it's really exciting to be a part of. Like Catherine was saying, Jack is just the most incredible writer, mind, genius, and to be a part of that with under the amazing leadership of Catherine Hahn is wonderful.
That's young actor Joe Locke along with Catherine Hahn talking about their brand new series Agatha All Along. It's on Disney Plus now. I don't know who put this list together, and I'll tell you what some of the requirements were, which seem ridiculous to me, but ask a Chicagoan where their favorite pizza place is. They'll give you a half a dozen places that they love. And, you know, I've got my favorites. I want to hear about some of yours. Where is the best first of all, thin or thick? And where do you go? What's your go-to place for pizza? I'm a thin crust man myself.
I won't walk away from a deep dish pizza. I like Lou Malnati's. I like some of the others. I think of the deep dish, I like Lou Malnati's the best. But if I'm going to have to pick between the two, I'm definitely a thin crust man. And for my money, best thin crust, D'Agostino's. They have locations all over the Chicago area and the suburbs. I think they make a fantastic thin crust pizza. One of my favorites. It's super thin, and it's delicious, and it's crispy, and it's got everything that you want to know. Now, this list, which comes from a New Yorker, it's a New York organization that put this together, said that in order to qualify on this list, that the pizza place must be well-maintained, well-refined, and informally elegant. You got to be kidding me. For a pizza joint? Really? I mean, even in New York, well-maintained, refined, and informally elegant are not the things that come to my mind for the best pizza places that I've been to in New York, or in Italy, for that matter. They're usually kind of hole in the walls. And, you know, a lot of places make great pizza. This list picked as its number one pizza, Una Pizza Napolitano in New York City. Never been there. If I think of it, the next time in New York, maybe I'll go give it a try. But of the top, let me see here, 20, almost every place is either New York or Italy. There are a few entries from Milan. I'm sorry, a few entries from Tokyo, which I don't know. I wouldn't expect to have the greatest pizza in the world, but I guess why not? São Paulo, Brazil, the Philippines, Makati, Philippines, Barcelona, Spain, no Chicago. No Chicago in the top 30. No Chicago pizza place in the top 40. Got to be kidding me. It takes all the way down to number 50 to get to a Chicago-based pizza place, and it is Robert's Pizza and Dough Company. Robert's Pizza and Dough Company. I'll be honest with you, I never heard of them until I just saw this list. So, of course, I looked it up. And it is 465 North McClurg Court. So that would be right here in downtown. Actually, just blocks away from here. Not really able to get a handle on, you know, what they specialize in or whatever. When you go to their site, it says Robert's Pizza and Dough Company serves one of Chicago's favorite artisan brick oven baked thin crust pizza from its downtown riverfront full service restaurant. And it looks nice. The pictures, you know, certainly look very nice. God bless them for being number 50 on the list. I'm sorry, I do not buy for 1 minute that of all the pizza places that we have in Chicago, outstanding pizza places, that we don't rank any higher than number 50. Not buying it. Not buying it. Let me go to, let me see here. It looks like Tom at 312-981-7200. Pizza Talk, Tom. What's your thinking?
This is coming from a person whose first real, after he did the lawn services and the paper routes, first paycheck was from a Barnaby's.
Barnaby's. Oh, my gosh.
Spent a lot of time. It was like a family there, everybody that worked
there. Sure.
My first job. And, you know, but can I weigh in on dine-in and a carry-out?
Sure.
Type? Okay. So I'm from the Tinley area, and there are so many, like you were just saying, so many restaurants in the southwest suburbs alone that are awesome, but
yeah.
I'm going to weigh in with Ed and Joe's to dine in. It's a very old building. They have live entertainment on Fridays, and it's just a family-friendly, beautiful place, and it's being that I worked in a restaurant, it is meticulous. It's spotless.
Sure.
And it's a very old building.
Where is it located? Where is it located?
It's in the old section of Tinley Park. There's a bunch of older buildings that are actually, there's a historical building there too, the Bain and Gavel Brewery. It's right on Oak Park Avenue in the old section of Tinley.
All right. And give me the name again. It was two names you said?
Ed and Joe's.
Ed and Joe's.
I think they've been in business since the 60s.
All right.
And for carryout, I would go Durbin's. They used to have a place on Oak Park Avenue, but for carryout, I would go hands down with Durbin's because of the quality.
I'm telling you what, we've got so many great places in the Chicago area, Southside, especially, some great places for sure.
Well, and then the original Aurelio's is not too far from me.
Oh, I used to go there when I lived on the South Side. I used to go to the original Aurelio's all the time, and they still make a good pizza.
Yes, dine in, and if you're dining in, you can tell them please put it in the old oven. And there's a big difference there.
Okay, that's good to know. That's a good tip. I appreciate your call, Tom. Thank you very much. Best pizza, in your opinion, different from this fancy schmancy list that doesn't even have a Chicago pizza place on it until it's number 50 spot, which I can't believe. Getting some good suggestions from you, though, 312-981-7200. Someone suggests Baracco's. They have a couple of locations on the South Side. I've been to Baracco's, two locations. They have an incredible thin crust pizza. It's like super, super, super thin crust. Oh, man, that's a good pizza, Baracco's. Here's someone saying Palermo's on 95th Street. I've had that pizza. It also is very good. Obie's Pizza on Archer and Oak Park is my number one pizza, it says here. Vito and Nick's comes in number two. Vito and Nick, also very good. Here is Romano's Pizza in Des Plaines and in Rosemont. Oh, it says it closed. All right. Well, thank you for telling me someplace I can't get pizza. Burt's Place in Morton Grove, 312-981-7200. How about you, Mike? What do you think?
Dean. Woodstock. Groundhog Days, remember? Woodstock Square?
Of course.
I'm sure Dave's been there.
I've been there many times.
Napoli's Pizza on the square. They
Napoli.
Got the best garbage pizza. They rolled it up, put everything on it.
What goes on the garbage pizza?
You name it. Canadian bacon, anchovies, everything you want.
They load it up. They load it up with everything. Okay. Napoli's in Woodstock. All right, buddy.
Thing weighs like 2 pounds.
Gotta love that. Gotta love that. I appreciate the call. Jim, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, Dean. How you doing?
Good.
I think the most important consideration for pizza for me is the sauce, whether it's sweet sauce or more savory, a hearty sauce or whatever. But I like sweet. And it's difficult to know. You get all these recommendations that have come through. And for someone like me who just, I love pizza, but I love sweet sauce pizza. I live in Dixon. And we have a great pizza place there since 87, which kind of saved me because I moved there in 85 and didn't have pizza for 2 years, really.
Oh, no.
I was called Maria's Pizza, and they just do a fantastic job. And they'll do the crust whichever way you want. I think like you, I like it real thin and crispy, and they'll just roll it special for me. And it's just a fantastic pizza.
Yeah, it's nice when they do that.
I'm going to miss it as we're moving on to Wisconsin here, but it's going to be interesting.
Well, here, what do you think about a barbecue sauce on your pizza? A nice, sweet, but tangy barbecue sauce. I bring it up because when I've done my TV cooking segment and I've done pizzas on the grill, by far the number one recipe that I get requests for is my barbecued chicken and caramelized onion pizza. Barbecue chicken, caramelized onion. It is so delicious. If you like sweet sauce, Jim, you'll love this. But the combination of the sweet caramelized onions and the barbecue sauce and the roasted chicken, you can make that yourself. I've got the recipe posted at WGN.